Without the sanctuary, there's no place for the priesthood to function. That means the priesthood can only be carried out in the proper sanctuary. Right? It will be just like cook without a kitchen. It's impossible to be a cook if you don't have a kitchen, right? So the priesthood without the sanctuary, there is no way for the priesthood to function. That is why Peter put the building of the spiritual house and the holy priesthood together. That means the spiritual house is the holy priesthood. And holy priesthood is related to the spiritual house. You can never, ever separate both. Right. And so, to realize how to serve the services of the priest, firstly, you have to be in the true tabernacle, pitched by the Lord Himself. Why did the book of Hebrews says the Lord has entered into the true heavenly tabernacle? Meaning to say the earthly one was not yet the true one. It is only a copy. Right? But the real true tabernacle is a heavenly one. So today we are not building an earthly one. No wonder, let's just read it here. Right, Roman numeral 5, A2, the true tabernacle. It is erected by the Lord Himself. Praise the Lord. Right, in all these verses we have read, it is erected by the Lord Himself. The word erected means the Lord Himself put it together. That's why I put a Greek word there, right? Meaning to say it is the Lord who pitched it, who put it together. Nobody else could do it. Anything that is done by man is going to be shaken, and at the end, believe me, it's going to fall apart. There are so many groups today, but hey, are they built and erected by the Lord Himself or by man? Well, right. Too many things were erected by man. Right. And then it says in point B, God being both the architect, the designer, architect is a designer, and the builder. How can we, being from the earth, build up something that is heavenly, you tell me? That's why I've seen so many groups, including ourselves, in the last 50 years falling apart. In Manila, oh my, when I was a high schooler, it really fell apart. You must be there, right? In the Philippines, Manila, Soler, right? George, you were maybe too young there, you didn't know. It really fell apart, and great was the fall. I've never seen quarreling, fighting in such a way. It fell apart. And at that time, I was very young. I was a high schooler, just graduating high school. And tears came down of my eyes because the Lord just turned me toward Him. We went to Baguio. Did you go to Baguio? You also did. Oh, great. So you remember everything. So when we come down from the mountain back to Manila and saw the terrible situation, wow, it gave me a very deep impression. Wow, what is going on here? Right? Now I know the Lord will shake up anything that is not built by Him. It may look wonderful to start with, but at the end, when the quake comes, it's going to fall apart. And it did. That now the Lord says, if you build your house upon the sand, and the rain will come, the flood will come, the wind will come, and the house will fall down. And great will be the fall of it. Yeah. Well, the Lord already prophesied what's going to happen. Right? So, God is the designer. Don't be so wise and wiser than God and think this is the way to build, that is the way to build. Let Him tell us. And in His Word, let Him tell us. Both in the Word and in the Spirit by the Holy Anointing. We need to be open. That's why we need to have an ear that is consecrated. To hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. And then, see, it is heavenly. In nature, it is heavenly. That's why in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, it says it comes out from heaven, right? Out of heaven from God. Anything that comes down from heaven can only come down from God, right? Of course. Who else, right? And what else could come down from heaven except it comes down from God? And so we have to learn how to receive everything from above. Amen. Learn that. Because anything that is not from above will not be acceptable. So God is both the architect and the building, and it must be heavenly. Remember the blue color, right? And then it also says, not of this creation. Ah. You know, we like to have a nice meeting hall. And at the end, they're fighting for a meeting hall. And even went up to court for a meeting hall. Oh, you think God is going to fight for a meeting hall? You know, when He was on this earth, He didn't even have a roof up, over His head. Didn't even have a pillow. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, and the church has meeting hall, but our Lord has no place to lay His head. And we are so boasting about our beautiful, nice meeting hall. Oh, goodness. You know, in Southern California, there is a place called the Crystal Cathedral. And just about a year ago, because my window was broken in, it was broken. And so the window repair place is right next to the Crystal Cathedral. I've never been there. So now that I brought a window there, and they had to fix it, and they told me, come back in about 3 hours. What am I going to do in the 3 hours? I said, well, he said, the Crystal Cathedral is there. You can go and take a look at the Crystal Cathedral. I said, oh, well, good idea. I haven't been there. My, that Crystal Cathedral is beautiful, but it's all made of this creation. Man-made, beautiful, really beautiful. There is an inside, wow, there is even a river, but not of the water of life. And there's a fountain, and then you have the light. And, wow, the organ costs about, well, I don't know, how many millions, couple of million dollars. And the whole place is made of crystal. And you know what happened? It was empty. Person who built it with so many money pouring in, and at the beginning there were a few thousand people in it, at the end it all collapsed. And you know who bought it? The Roman Catholic Church bought it for, I think, 34 million or something like that. One of the guy who was there at that time, because it's in transitional period, it became a tourist spot. And the two older gentlemen were there helping people come to introduce them to the whole place. I asked him one question. I said, "Sir, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, he will build such a cathedral?" The first time when he came, he didn't. He couldn't answer me. But his heart was so broken because he was serving there for 40 years. And then now at the end, it became nothing. We shouldn't be building something that at the end will become nothing. No. We are building something today that is heavenly in nature. Amen. And only something that the Lord himself will erect it. And it's not of this creation. No wonder Paul said, if anyone build upon this foundation, which is Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, the fire will come and try every man's work and will burn away everything that is man-made. So, right. Not made by men and not by men's hands. And already Isaiah said it very clearly, and then Stephen said that, you know, when he talked about David and Solomon building the temple, right? Firstly, David wanted to build a house for God. But God told him, no, you cannot build it because you shed too much blood. Your son Solomon will build the temple. And Solomon built the temple. Then the next verse says, but the Lord God, the Almighty God, the Creator, he does not dwell in temple made by hands. And Hebrews said it again. So we better learn today. Don't build anything by your own ways, your own concept. What our two hands can do is only of this creation. How much can you do with your two hands? Right? So, praise the Lord. You all have to see the basic principle of how the Lord is going to build his church. Right? Now, the tabernacle, let us take a look how it is built. And if you want to know the heavenly tabernacle, firstly, you have to understand the earthly tabernacle. Because if you don't, then goodness, you know, how are you going to build a church? And the Lord said to Moses, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. And this offering means the gifts that God needed from everyone who gives it willingly. Chapter 25, I'm sorry. Chapter 25, Exodus 25. We are going on in a hurry, so. All right. Who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering, because God doesn't want to force anyone. Don't force anyone to do anything in the church life. No, don't do that, because this is not the way our God operates. You want to be for the Lord, you do it willingly. Yes, this is God's way. Our way is to try to convince anyone and to pull anyone in, and if not by the hand, then you do it by the hair, right? So that at the end they have no choice but to come, right? But then, hey, sooner or later, they're going to leave again. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, number one. Silver, number two. Remember what gold means, right? The divine nature of God. Silver in the Bible is the redemption silver. That means every male in the people of Israel must give a redemption silver, right? And that silver in the Bible signifies redemption, the price paid by the Lord. So the Lord was sold for how many silver? 30 pieces of silver, right, to accomplish his redemption for us. The price of a slave. Amazing. I feel sorry for Judas. If I were Judas doing such a terrible work, I would demand at least 30,000 pieces of silver, not 30 pieces. Right? But he only got 30 pieces. Why? Because it's written in the Bible. He had no choice. Poor Judas. So don't ever betray the Lord. You will not going to get much. You won't get much. Silver, bronze, praise the Lord. Bronze is copper. According to the Bible, copper signifies judgment. Don't think there is no judgment. In building God's house, the temple, there is a lot of judgment. Right? If there's no judgment, then anything can come in. Right? Then you can do anything you like here. No. And then here, number four, you can see blue again. You see, this is God's favorite color, I guess. It seems, right? Blue, purple. Praise the Lord. Scarlet thread. Fine linen. And on top of that, you have goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and then acacia wood. Now, all these, from 3 to 5, are the materials for the building of the sanctuary itself, the holy place and the holy of holies. Now, you can see that with God's building, the emphasis is in the material used. Material is very important for him. And Paul said that too. Be careful how each one of you build upon the foundation. If you use gold, silver, or precious stones, or you use just wood, hay, and stubble, you will be in trouble if you build with the wrong category of materials. Right? So, where did Paul get that concept? Definitely from Moses. Yeah, he got it from Moses. And people are telling us, we don't need Moses anymore. Sorry, you don't need, I do. We do. Right? And the Lord, remember, the Lord says, Moses speaks about me. In John chapter 5, the Lord says, if you don't believe in the writings of Moses, you cannot believe my words. The reason is because Moses speaks concerning me. All of these materials have something to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So you can really see that these materials are very important, and this morning I hope that we can just see a little bit concerning the materials. Now, we have no time, right? But maybe I can just draw a little bit. Oh, there's no more paper, right? Is there paper? Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, you have drawn something there.
It's not as nice.
No, it doesn't matter. I just want to show you. Pick a color. I'll take
blue.
No, the gold. I'll take the gold. I'll take the gold first, right? First of all, you have to realize that the basic material that God uses is a special kind of wood, which is the acacia wood. Acacia wood. God will not just use any kind of wood. An acacia wood is a wood that is strong, sturdy, and no worms. The worms don't like acacia wood. Right. Any other wood used, especially in California, that's why we have a big problem of termites, woodworms. We're California, I don't know about Toronto. Do you have woodworms here? Termites. Bad?
Maybe not as bad.
Not as bad as California. In my house, we need an inspection every year. And then every time you see droppings, you call them and they come and fix it, treat it, kill the worms, but you cannot kill them all. Okay? I told the saints recently, I had my wooden frame at home outside from the windows painted. And the painter discovered termites, terrible termites. And there's a special one piece of wood. I don't know what kind of a wood that those guys use when they build that garage door outside. And outwardly it looks so pretty because of the paint. But when you poke on it, and bah, it went through just like a piece of cardboard. And there's so many white little creatures there crawling around. When I saw it, boy, I got really goosebumps. Oh, my hair stood up. It was so terrible. But I didn't realize that. Right? It was outward. My. The only way is to get rid of it. I quickly called the termite guy, not only to get rid of it, but to treat it, to kill whatever is there, right? And make sure it didn't spread to other pieces of wood. Okay, yeah. But I learned that the termites will not migrate to another piece of wood unless they finish this piece of wood. So as long as they are still there, that's good news. Okay, they didn't spread. But you know, that is a picture of our fallen humanity. Now I understand when a person passed away and all of a sudden all the worms came out. So many worms. Because it must already been there. Our humanity looks good, but we do not realize that within us there is sinful worms. Sin dwells in our flesh. You do not realize that. We may think we are good people, we are ladies and gentlemen, right? We behave so well, but that's only the outward paint. Just like the wood outside of my garage. It looks really good. But little did I know that inside it's full of worms. That is why the Lord used the acacia wood. You have a piece of acacia wood here. And only this kind of acacia wood will be overlaid with gold. God is not going to cover my fallen humanity with gold. It's not possible. Right. Right. So, the acacia wood signifies the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't use the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, how are you going to build a church? Yeah, you may. For the first 10 years, maybe it's wonderful. I told the saints previously in the so-called churches, we have a saying, every 10 years there is a storm. A big storm and quite a few are blown away and collapse. And then every 10 years, That's every 10 years. How can the Lord build something that will be blown away every 10 years? Right? It cannot be a heavenly structure. Can you imagine a heavenly structure will be blown away every 10 years? Will collapse. And you have to rebuild again. And 10 years later, it will come down again. And then it will start again. And it doesn't sound right. Right. So here you can see, why is it that every 10 years it'll be blown away? Because every 10 years that natural wood will be infested with worms. It will fall apart. You have no choice. So the first thing you need to realize is we need the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is why you need a meal offering. We need to labor on Christ and enjoy and eat this wonderful unleavened bread. We have to learn to apply and experience the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ to replace this terrible humanity. If not, no matter what method you use, you can have a nice, wonderful ministry, good messages, nice singing, and I don't know what else. Once the worms start eating, it's going to fall apart. And the only kind of wood that repels the spiritual termites, okay, is the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without His humanity, I don't care how you talk about the building in spirit, we are in spirit. At the end, there will be corruption and flesh will come out and the whole building will fall apart. Why? Because it is the wrong humanity, wrong material that you're using. And only with this wonderful piece of wood, it's 10 cubits high, right? 10 cubits high, it is 2.5 cubits wide, and then half a cubit, right? Half a cubit thick. Half a cubit thick.
The width is 1.5.
Oh, 1.5, not 2.5. I'm sorry. 1.5, not 2.5. Sorry. 1.5. You're right. Right. Don't think it is a light wood. No, it is not light at all. And then only this kind of a wood will be used by the Lord. The Lord is very particular concerning the materials He uses. Don't think you're capable and then you can build a church. No. Don't think you can speak and you can build a church. No. Don't think you are burning for the Lord and you can build a church. No, you cannot. You cannot. Right? That's why the Lord has to raise up a new man. The new humanity where Christ is all and in all. And then you have here sockets, right? And the wood inside down below here have a stand, have a stand so that it'll fit the socket, and the socket is made of silver, right? Silver. So you have the material of gold standing on the silver socket. One brother, right, calculated the silver. Of course, how many boards are here on one side? No?
I think it's 10.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. 20 boards. 20 on the north, 20 on the south.
And then ten in the west. On the west, not on the east. The east is the entrance, otherwise there is no entrance. Somebody counted the weight of the silver, just the silver itself here, for the 20 boards here, for the 20 boards there. Right. How many? What was the weight? 1.8 tons. Of silver. That shows how much salvation we need. Day by day, so much salvation. You know, we do not realize that we need salvation. We thought we are already saved. Yes, we are just saved by His death on the cross. Right? And He paid a ransom. That is the initial salvation. What about your daily salvation? What about your souls? What about your mind? What about being saved from the self? From your own fallen concept? What about to be saved from your will? What about to be saved from so many other things? Loving the world, for example. Don't you need to be saved? What about to be saved from your temper? What about to be saved from your speech? The Lord says, every idle word will be judged. What about be saved from your thoughts? How much silver do you need? You tell me how much silver you need. How much silver do you need, George?
1.8 tons.
Well, of course, 1.8 tons is for the whole place, but you probably need quite a few kilos. We all do. No wonder the Lord says He is able to save us to the uttermost. Right. With Him is much salvation. We need salvation all the time. Every day we need the silver. Without adequate salvation, the church cannot stand. It cannot stand. Without His humanity and without the silver, you cannot stand. It is impossible. Right? So we really need to see this. So you can see the whole place there is made of this acacia wood overlaid with gold. And then you have the rings. In each one here, there are three rings in each panel of wood. So that you can have the rod, also made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, that goes through these rings. You have to realize that this is God's design. And the middle rod goes through the whole side of the panel from one end, from the east to the west, it goes through. And then you have four other smaller half the size of the big one that goes through the top, two, and the bottom, two, that will hold all of these boards together. Who holds us together? Why is there three rows of five? The middle one is the rod that went through. The top two are two on the top and then two on the bottom altogether, five rods, but in three rows. Meaning to say, number three, we already know what number three is, right? Talks about our triune God. Right. And number five is a number of responsibility. Only the triune God, especially as the Spirit, the rings and the rod that can hold us together. Only God could do it. That responsibility cannot just be borne by us. You cannot. You know how hard it is if it is by your effort to hold people together? Try it. Try it. You can try all you can. At the end, everything will fall apart. What we need together is a ring with the rod, which is the triune God Himself today as the Spirit who bonds us together. Nothing else can hold us together. No. You can use any kind of means to hold people together. You can use cement, you can use super glue, whatever glue you use, it's going to fall apart. You will not be able to hold things together. And then it will be so difficult. Right? You remember in the beginning in New York, quite a few people came. Right? I remember that. Could you hold them together? No. No. They didn't want to. They don't like this, they don't like that, they don't like to hear this, and you're not supposed to talk about this, and at the end, try to hold them together. You tried, right?
Yes.
I'm glad I didn't try. Not possible. Today, I don't do that kind of a job anymore. I'm not Hercules. You can hold everything together. No, you cannot. No. People who love the Lord, who wants to come, they will come. They don't need your pulling, your encouragement, you're saying nice words to them, you do all the things you can, invite them to your home, cook a nice meal, and I don't know, take a vacation with them, and then they will come. Well, that kind of a coming together, it will be a club, not the church. It's a club. We are not building a club here. Really? No. God is not building a club. God is building a sanctuary, a holy place, and where He dwells is the holy of holies. It's holier than holy. That's why it's called the Holy of Holies. And the way to build this must be God's way. Right? We cannot go into details, but then you can really see then the covering, the first layer, the inside cover is made exactly like the materials of the priest. So now, with the same kind of materials of the priest, the high priest, and the covering of the tabernacle, you can see how the priesthood and the tabernacles are interrelated. It's not that the tabernacle has a different materials and a priest is wearing a different color. No, it's exactly the same color. So you can see the gold, you can see the blue, you can see the purple, you can see the scarlet, and of course the linen, the white linen. And then the cherubims there inside is embroidered into that wonderful covering there. That means only that kind of a material is woven together will have the glory of God. Right? Without that kind of a material, there would be no cherubim. It's called the cherubims of glory. Because the cherubims are the angels responsible to keep the glory of God there. That no one and no flesh will violate it. You remember after Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, The cherubim was there guarding. Make sure no one can come in. You want to make sure everything comes in, but God wants to make sure everything stays outside. We're always the opposite of God. Right. You want to come in, you must be holy. Having your conscience cleansed and sprinkled. The heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Having your bodies washed with pure water. Putting on the priestly garment. Bringing in the offering. Then you can come in. Praise the Lord. That's the way to come in. So you can really realize that our God is not a wishy-washy, anything goes, you know, that kind of a God. No, definitely not. Right. And then the second layer, my, there are quite a few layers, is the goat's hair. Goat's hair. According to the Bible, goat's hair. Goat signifies the, you know, the word scapegoat, right? Even the word scapegoat is American, English, right? Oh, somebody has to bear the guilt. Oh, we'll make you to be the scapegoat. We'll put all the blame on you. How about that? You're the scapegoat. Scapegoat is in the Bible. That's where they get the word scapegoat. Because the scapegoat refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sin and sent away, never to return. That's the scapegoat. He bore all our guilt. So the goat's hair signifies that he was made sin for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. That we, who are sinful, not only might be saved, but becomes the righteousness of God. So the sin offering is not only for your forgiveness, but to turn you into the righteousness of God. So the second layer is goat skin. Actually, these two layers are actually the layer for the covering of the tabernacle. Then the last two layers are, firstly, the ram skin dyed red. So that refers to the trespass offering. The blood, the scarlet color there. The ram skin dyed red. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful covering. And then the final outer covering is badger skin. Rough. So if you look at a tabernacle outside, it doesn't look so fine. We like to put a fine covering outside, but inside it is rotten. But the Lord is the other way around. Inside is golden with all this wonderful material, but outside it is so rough, like a badger skin. How about that? Do you want the church to look so fine, beautiful, wonderful, to attract people? Did not Isaiah 53 says, and he has no what?
No outward
beauty that will be attracted to him. The Lord will not attract you by outward beauty. You need to see the inward preciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't see it, you don't see it. And if you see it, then you have to know how to enter in a proper way. Yeah. This is the way this tabernacle is built. So, for the priesthood to really function, we really need to have this kind of a sanctuary. Because this place is holy. This place is holy. And God, who is the holy God, dwells in the holy of holies. And you have such a wonderful ark of covenant raising with the cherubim of glory overshadowing the covering. Right? And that cover eventually becomes the mercy seats, the throne of grace that we can come into the sanctuary to meet him. And he will speak to us from that mercy seat. We all need to learn this. Time is up. I don't think we need to use too much time to talk about it now. But as long as you have this concept, you know, today, for many of the people that I know, for them, the church is only one city, one church. Why are you the church? Because we are standing on the ground. You mean to say, if you're standing on the ground, then you're already the church. What about the materials you use? You know, Paul said, no other foundation can any man lay than what is laid, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? He was not even talking about one city, one church. He's talking about the actual foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think to have the foundation, Jesus Christ, as the right foundation, is that good enough? Let me read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me just read to you, okay? Yep. Beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed, not what kind of a foundation you have, but how you build on this foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So everybody knows I cannot talk about any other foundation. Right? Nobody dares to say, I'm the foundation, or who is the foundation except the, I don't know, even the Roman Catholic Church, I don't know, they think Peter is the foundation, I think, but that's definitely out of question. Now the point is this, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So even if you have the right foundation, it doesn't guarantee that you are building the right thing. Let alone the fact you said, I'm standing on the ground. I would say, what ground? Even if the right foundation doesn't guarantee that you're building the right thing. Every denomination says their foundation is Christ. So, okay, but hey, what material are you using to build? And then we add another thing below the foundation. We call it the ground of the church. I'm not against the oneness, because the ground of the church, as described by Brother Nee, is just really for the oneness. But if you don't have the oneness anymore, or a human oneness, or a different kind of oneness, a one city, one church doesn't mean a thing. Right? So, one city, one church, is just the result of the building of the Lord, because it was built by the Lord, and God is one. So, whatever he builds is one. But if I forget about him and I just make this one city, one church into a system or a principle that if I stand on this ground, I'm the church. Goodness, suppose the Mormons take the ground tomorrow, are they the church? What about if Jehovah's Witness read Watchman Nee's book and agree that, oh yeah, one city, one church, good idea. Let's do it. I'm going to stand on the ground of the church. Are you going to recognize them as a church? You tell me. No. And now, I have seen in the past 50 years, it's already rotten and people are afraid to come out because it's one city, one church. We are still a church. Although it's already rotten, full of termites. Because that concept, one city, one church, that's it. But it's already so rotten and people are still stuck there. No, we cannot leave because this is still the church. Now, have you not read in the seven churches in the book of Revelation? The Lord told the church in Ephesus, if you just left the first love, the best love, meaning to say the love towards the Lord, and you do not repent, I will remove the lampstand out of its place. But Lord, we are standing under one city, one church. You're going to argue with the Lord with that? One city, one church is just the result of His building. If it is built by the Lord, then automatically it is one city, one church. It is, of course, it is normal. But if you make that into a doctrine, so eventually, why are we the church? Because we are standing on the one city, one church. But the problem now is this. In Toronto, how many groups are standing on one city, one church?
Maybe four or five.
Four or five. For goodness sake, now which one is the right one? You're also standing on the one city, one church, right? And then that place is also in Shepard, one city, one church. I don't know, another place also, one city, one church. How many cities are there in Toronto? So which one is it? This is a dilemma today. 40 years ago, we didn't have this problem because we are the only one who believe in this one city, one church. But now there's so many people believing in one city, one church, and everyone standing in the one city, one church. And so you have many churches in one city, one church. So which is the real one? Please raise your hand. Oh, all of them raise up their hands. Then, which is the right one? Only the one built by Him. Without Him, there's no one city, one church. You can even have one city, one church, so what? I'm not saying that in a city or in a given locality we can be divided all over. No. We should still keep the proper oneness, but our oneness is not a man-made oneness. You have to listen to me. I have the ministry. I am an elder here. Everybody must listen to me. If not, please leave. You know, that kind of a oneness is from below. The oneness that the Lord is talking about is oneness with the Father and with the Son. It's as the Son and the Father are one. It is this heavenly, real, spiritual, divine oneness between the Father and the Son. That is the oneness that we are keeping today. Not a man-made human oneness, a strange kind of oneness. Today, for many people, oneness is just oneness. No, for us, oneness is the anointing, is the triune God, the oneness of the triune God. Not a strange kind of special oneness. No. After all these years, we should have learned something already. But unfortunately, many did not learn. Many did not learn. Right? So eventually, the so-called dead principle of one city, one church became a prison for you, even though it's already so wrong, you are afraid to leave because we are still the church of one city, one church. If that is your only definition of the church, I feel sorry for you. I know it's hard because I came from that background. Okay. What else can I say? I was more for that maybe than many of you. But I begin to realize the real significance of that one city, one church. I realize that it is because it was the Lord who builds it. And because God is one, whatever He builds can only be one. But if you take that apart from Him and make it into a principle, it becomes a dead principle. Even if you're so fleshly, you stand in that one city, one church, you're still the church. What about the church in Sardis? It's a dead church. What do you do with a dead church? What about if you're a lukewarm church like Laodicea? The Lord says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And the spit is not even a strong enough word. The word there says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you. You know what vomiting means? After you vomit something out, it doesn't smell good. You better run away. What are you going to say? One brother told another brother, but have you not read Revelation chapters 2 and 3? That in spite of their terrible conditions, the Lord still calls them the church. Well, if that is your argument, then the other brother answered back, but have you not read that the Lord will vomit you out of His mouth? Are you still the church if the Lord vomits you out? Oh, the Lord removed the lampstand, not because they don't stand on the ground, so-called, of the church anymore, but because they left the first love. Then the other brother couldn't answer, waited for quite a while, and then said, yes, because it is written, how can you say no? So the holy priesthood needs also this wonderful holy tabernacle made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold, with all these layers of covering. Right? You cannot force the Lord to dwell in a place you don't. He doesn't want to dwell. Don't think you can force Him, okay? He will not force you, neither can you force Him. The Lord knows what He wants, except we don't know what we want, and we don't know what He wants. This is the problem, right? So it all boils down, let us really be consecrated to Him as a priesthood, having our ears there, right? With the blood of consecration on the right ear, right ear lobe, the right thumb, the right toes, that whatever we do will be from Him. And that's what we need to do today. Right? The Lord will do the rest. Praise the Lord.